Hello, I'm Michaela, and this is Lactation Station. Welcome back. Before we get into the who's it, what's it of more lactation, let's talk once again about the mechanics of the breast. The breasts are made up of glands that produce milk. The glands are made up of tissue that assists in the release of milk. There are special cells inside the breast glands called alveoli that makes the milk. Milk is channeled through the glands, through the milk ducts when your partner suckles or you pump. As your partner suckles, the level of prolactin rises, and this leads to the production of more milk. So why is breast milk important? Well, we know why it's important for babies. It's easy to digest, and it's rich in nutrients. And it's also effective against diseases and infections. Now, obviously, your breast milk for your partner isn't going to protect them like it would a baby. And I can't find any science saying that your milk will protect your partner from disease. I can tell you from personal experience, every time I've gotten sick, I continue to let my partner suckle, and he very rarely gets sick. I'm pretty sure I had the coronavirus late last year. My doctor couldn't identify what I had. He just called it a severe case of the flu. My partner suckled through me being sick, and trust me, we were in pretty close proximity, and he never got sick. He could just have a really good immune system, or it could have been the antibodies in my milk. I can't say for sure. I can definitely tell you that whenever I have something, he never does. He never gets it. You know, he hangs out with me a lot. If I get a cold or, you know, like I said, whatever, the flu or whatever it was, it never affects him. And it just leads me to wonder if that's the case, if he's getting the antibodies from my milk that my body's building from me being sick. And then suckling is also good for your health as well. It lowers your risks of some diseases, such as breast cancer and ovarian cancer. And suckling builds a bond that, you know, of love and compassion. Just like with a baby, the skin-to-skin contact with your partner helps boost levels of oxytocin, the feel-good hormone. Usually, a boost in oxytocin will leave you feeling good and in a really great mood. So who wouldn't want to do that? I mean, it just, you know, it feels great. You may have also noticed that after your partner suckles, they might get a little sleepy at night. Your milk is literally designed to help fall asleep. That's why when babies suckle at the breast, they fall asleep. And it's the same true of your partner in the evening, especially that if you're suckling at night, it makes sense that it would also make your partner tired. Research shows that nucleotides in breast milk increases at night, and this may indicate the role that nucleotides play in homeostasis and the relaxing effect that it has. Now, the language your body understands is conveyed through milk removal. The more often and more fully breasts are drained of milk, the more milk you produce. We know that. You guys have heard me say it a dozen times. The less often and less fully the milk is removed, the less milk you produce. Sounds easy enough. Simply put, drained breasts make milk faster and full breasts make milk slower. So two aspects of full breast slow milk production. Internal pressure as your breasts fill with milk and an ingredient in your milk known as feedback inhibitor of lactation or FIL. As more milk accumulates in your breast, increased pressure and FIL sends a signal to the breast to slow milk production. The more pressure and FIL in your breast, the stronger the signal, the fuller your breast becomes, the slower you make milk. The opposite is also true. Milk production speeds up when your milk is removed more often and more fully. Understanding breast storage capacity is a key to understanding milk production in both short and long term. Breast storage capacity is determined by the volume of milk available in your breast at their fullest time of the day. Storage capacity is not related to breast size. Breast size is determined mostly by how much fatty tissue is in your breast. I know, and I get that question a lot, you know, and I've actually heard women say, well, I'm, you know, small breasted, I can't breastfeed. That's not true at all. The size of your breast has nothing to do with it. Smaller breasted women can have a large storage capacity, and larger breasted women can have a smaller storage capacity. Storage capacity varies by how much room is in your milk-making glands. A woman with large storage capacity has more room in her breasts to hold milk. Because she has more room, in order for there to be enough internal pressure to slow milk production, more milk must accumulate. A woman with smaller storage capacity will have less milk available. And unlike the woman with large capacity, a woman with smaller storage capacity will need to make sure she pumps more often and have more sessions each day. Pumping or suckling sessions might be needed at night as well, if the breast could become so full of milk that production slows down. During the first 40 days of breastfeeding, a baby can go through periods of very frequent and sometimes nonstop nursing. This is called cluster feedings. For induced lactation, we call it power pumping. Most new babies tend to bunch up their feedings together at certain times. We do this when we power pump. And if you're unfamiliar with power pumping, it mimics the sporadic, frequent feedings of an infant and is designed to help your body produce more milk. Power pumping can produce similar results as cluster feedings. The idea is to pump more frequently within a set time frame each day so that your body increases its milk supply naturally. There are no exact rules for power pumping, no exact schedules, and no exact durations. The idea is pumping more often during a span of time each day when your body naturally responds to the extra demand. The basics of power pumping is to set aside an extra hour a day for power pumping. It's also important to follow break times to prevent nipple or breast soreness. Now, one way you can do it is you can pump for 20 minutes, rest for 10 minutes, pump for 10 minutes, rest for 10 minutes, then pump for 10 minutes. And that's the most common one. When I hear people talking about power pumping, that's the one that most people do or talk about. And you can repeat that schedule once or twice a day. Or you can pump 5 minutes, rest 5 minutes, pump 5 minutes, rest 5 minutes, and pump 5 minutes. This schedule you can repeat 5 to 6 times a day. Or if there's, you know, a variation of it that works for you, the important thing is to rest your body, let your nipples have a break, and to not overdo it. Now, do you have a specific idea of how much milk that you should be pumping? If so, you're not alone. I think we all set out thinking we should be producing copious amounts of milk, and I've said that before. But when you barely cover the bottom of a collection bottle, reality starts to set in. Unrealistic pumping sessions are high among women who induce. And what is the source of these expectations? Well, many women compare their milk yield with what they produce when breastfeeding babies, or what friends with babies are producing. But before you judge your own results, you first need to know how much pumped milk is average for inducing. And the average amount is 1/2 ounce to 1 full ounce per pumping session. If you pump or hand express, however you do it, and you only have, you know, 1/2 shot glass of milk, that's actually quite okay. Well, I mean, even if it wasn't average, it'd still be okay. But you should know that that 1/2 shot glass or a full shot glass is right where you should be. Can you pump more or get to the point where you can pump more? Sure. You absolutely can, but 1/2 ounce to 1 ounce, you know, don't expect any more than that, and don't settle for any less than that at first. But you can teach your body to respond to produce more. Don't assume what you pump is a gauge of your milk production. This is rarely true. It also takes time to become skilled at pumping. And even with good production and a good quality pump, some women find pumping tricky. Oh, it's, you know, I'm so glad that I decided to get the LV pump because I can't, like, just put it in my nursing bra and that's it. You know, I use the app on my phone to turn it on and turn it off to keep track of how much milk is collected so far. So that's all I really need to do. The pump does it all itself. When I was trying to navigate my way through regular pumps, I used to get so frustrated because they were so hard to figure out, or, you know, did I have it right? Am I doing it right? Why isn't this working? So, you know, navigating the skills needed to pump although it sounds like an easy task, is not really. So just bear with yourself, figure it out, and you'll get there. Okay, so let's talk about advice on how long to pump, because I think that people hear conflicting advice on how long to pump. Now, I recently read a study, and science recently shed new light on pumping. During pumping, researchers measured milk flow rates among 34 women. According to the researchers in their 2012 study, they found great differences from mother to mother. Some pumped 60% of their available milk within the first few minutes and were done quickly, while others pumped as much as 20% of their milk 14 minutes into their session. One of the most helpful discoveries was that although the women's experiences varied, each woman's milk flow rates during pumping were consistent during different sessions. So what this means is that women who pumped their milk quickly did so at every pumping session, as did women who kept their milk flowing for longer periods. So this study shows us why it's important you don't stop pumping in the middle of a session. You could be one of those women who takes a little longer for milk to start flowing. There are general guidelines for pumping, but no one size fits all. You can determine your own best pump time by watching what happens during two or three different sessions. I know for me, when I pump, the bulk of what I'm going to pump comes out right away. And I pump for about 15 or 20 minutes. If I get busy, my pump will just automatically shut off at 20 minutes. So sometimes I'll let it go and sometimes I won't. But whatever I'm going to get in those first 10 minutes. And then I just let the pump run its course. And even if I let the pump run for 20 minutes when I take it off, I hand express because I always get more out after I hand express. You know, that's really important too. If you find that you're still getting a fair amount of milk after 15 to 20 minutes, you should pump 10 minutes past that, in addition to an additional 5 minutes of hand expressing. I know that's 35 minutes. I know it seems like a long time, but you really want to give your breasts the best possible chance to accomplish what they need to accomplish. And then if you get all your milk after 5 or 6 minutes and there's no longer a milk flow, pump for 5 more minutes past that time, and then also do your 5 minutes of hand expressing. You know, basically let your milk be your guide. A good time to pump if you're storing milk is usually your first pump in the morning. If you have a partner that suckles in the morning, then the second pump after that. If you don't have a partner, you know, that's available to suckle you first thing in the morning, then that first pump is where you should be pumping if you're storing milk. Most women will pump more milk than any other time, with the exception of, you know, if you pump or have a partner in between, 2 to 6, something like that in the morning. That ideally is the best time. But if you want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to pump milk, you should, but most people don't. So in that, the first pump when you get up in the morning is usually when you're going to get the best milk flow. Now, if you're an exception to this rule, then pump when you get your best results. If you feel upset, stressed, or angry when you sit down to pump, this releases adrenaline into your bloodstream, which can prevent your milk from flowing. If you're feeling bad, take a break and pump later when you feel better. I found a study from 2009, that found that mothers get 48% more milk when they use their hands while pumping. So, I mean, that makes sense. That translates well for us too. And I say to everybody that, you know, if you're not having good results with the pump, then try hand expressing, because I swear by it. There are times when I will get a little bit more when I hand express than I did with my pump. I just think you can feel the ducts. You can feel what you're doing. And I just think hand expressing is the better option. Do I do it all the time? No, because like everybody else, I like the convenience of the pump. But you will get the better results with hand expressing. Now, a few things that can affect your supply. A hormonal disorder, like thyroid hormonal imbalance, breast injury, and some surgeries, and low blood levels. If you have a low blood supply, you should be eating foods rich in iron to assist in production of more blood. Medications can also disrupt your milk supply. Medicines, especially contraceptives, are common in disrupting hormonal imbalance, which may also affect your milk. A lot of people ask about taking medications while lactating. Medications usually have little to no effect on your partner, although some medicines do get into your milk, but most of them will have an insignificant effect. Very strong medications may be an exception. If you're in doubt or you're not sure, consult your doctor or have your partner consult their doctor. You know, if you don't want to talk to your doctor. If you don't want to talk to your doctor, go back and listen to last week's episode about talking to your doctor. Because sometimes it's really important. And sometimes things may be going on that you don't understand why they're happening. And you need to talk to somebody about it. And usually that's a medical professional. Can they help you? I don't know. But at least you know that you can talk to them and try to figure out, you know, problem solve with them. Now, we know when we drink a soda or a baby drinks a bottle, it empties. The breasts are never empty. A soda can or a baby bottle can be emptied, but the breasts never can. Even if your breasts are well drained, milk production is nonstop. There's always milk available. And it's kind of misleading when you hear me or somebody else say, empty your breasts. Excuse me. Because you don't really. There's always milk production. But you want the bulk of the milk out. You want soft, nice breasts, you know, for the next go around of pumping or suckling. But the truth is your breasts are always creating milk. So there's always some milk there. Always. You're not going to get it all out. Sometimes you'll think that there is no more milk because of the way your breasts feel, but that's not a reliable gauge. Lots of milk can still be in a soft breast. On average, when you pump, you remove about 2/3 of the milk that's there, leaving 1/3 of your milk in the breast. And that's where hand expression comes in. Like I said, after you're done pumping, take 5 minutes more for hand expressing to get that last little bit out. Remember, also, more suckling sessions mean less pumping sessions. And anything that cuts down on pumping sessions is a great thing. All right, so that's the end of our discussion today. Don't forget to go by the website, sign up for the email, check out the sponsors there. We got a couple of really good ones. Go by Facebook and join the group Lactation Station 2020. That's it. I hope you guys have a great weekend and I will talk to you later. This is Michaela at Lactation Station. Have a good night.